This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
Well, we're back. It has been a long time since we've been together here on the Kevin Kelly Show, but tonight is the night, and this is the place, theplacetobenation.com, as we get back together here on, as we're rapidly heading towards Thanksgiving, and Christmas will be here before we know it, and then it'll be a new year, and we'll all be standing on our heads, and it's going to be crazy in 2016, but it's good to be back. We had to take a little bit of time off just with schedule conflicts and whatever. But now we're back, and we've got a great show for you tonight. We're going to do a lot of catch-up, and we're going to do a lot of look forward. So we'll be taking a look at what's going on in and around the world of professional wrestling. We're going to focus on Ring of Honor because they announced a new television partner, a new television deal today, so it's very interesting. We're also going to look into WWE, what's going on there, along with the Survivor Series and right around the corner and everything in the wake of Seth Rollins' injury. Are they in trouble? Is it as bad as some people say? Are the chickens coming home to roost? Or is everything just fine in the land of McMahon? We will talk about that. Plus, we'll peek around the world of MMA and certainly give our thoughts and opinions about the shocking upset of Ronda Rousey this past Saturday night. And I'll update my future as well with New Japan Pro Wrestling. And we've got a cool guest. We tried to have him on a few weeks ago. He was in Mexico for a promotion called Chilanga Mask, which is about the coolest promotion name I ever heard. And since then, I wanted to have him on at that time because that was when his documentary was first coming out. But now Raymond Rowe, who is one half of War Machine, who will be challenging for the World Tag Team titles with his partner Hansen at Final Battle on Friday, December 18th on pay-per-view. Ray Rowe's documentary, The Path, is out. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the making of it. We'll ask him the question as to whether or not he's ever been in prison, and we'll find out all the details, the real nitty-gritty stories from Ray Rowe here on the show. But I can't do this by myself because way, way, way in the background is Dan McGinn, but closer to the foreground is our producer extraordinaire, Justin Mazzaro. And Justin, how have you been?
Bop. That's all I get in my head when I hear Hansen. That's it. I'll be singing that all night, Kev. I've been good. It's been a while. Hope everyone enjoyed our last couple episodes there. We had the two-part interview with Matt Stryker, so that was a lot of fun. A lot has gone down in the world of wrestling, the world of sports, and just the world in general, Kev, since we spoke. So
it feels like, because, again, with our, you know, our schedules sort of in conflict with our being able to record, that, you know, sort of precluded us from getting together. But it really seems like over the last few weeks, a ton of stuff has happened, and I was thinking today, well, okay, so on the show tonight, and I'm sort of sketching it out, like I know we're going to talk about Seth Rollins, and I know we're going to talk about Survivor Series, and I know we're going to talk about Ring of Honor's television future. Is it still on Destination America? What will 2016 hold? And then lo and behold, a press release comes out from Ring of Honor this afternoon announcing a brand new TV partner. So are you ready to ride the comet?
Well, when I first saw that, I thought of the dog from Full House. That was the first thing that crossed my mind.
Obscure.
Very obscure. And then I thought of the cleaning agent. No, but then we did look into where it is. So apparently it's over the air, right? It's a digital channel, though?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Because my local cable system.
Yes.
Now, I don't have cable. I have DirecTV. So I will not be able to see the show on Comet.
So you're sexy Rob Lowe. You're not angry Rob Lowe.
No, I'm very, very sexy Rob Lowe when it comes to this. But on the cable, it's 15.3.
Okay.
So is that digital?
Yes. Because that's like over the air. Hang on. Dan McGinn, making a rare appearance here on the Kevin Kelly Show. Come in quickly and tell us, because I know you did some research on this thing, right?
Yeah. So if you have yourself one of those digital antennas, basically you plug it into your television and you can get basically, depending upon the reception, you get all kinds of free channels, networks, that sort of thing. You could see them all over the place, whether you go to Walmart, Target, wherever. You can find channels like obviously for, you know, the networks, but then they also have little like attached channels to those stations. So you have like a 4-2, you'll have like a whatever 15-5, you know, there's different like levels of just, it's not just channel 2 anymore. There's other layers of channel 2. Well, what you do is if you go to the Comet website, and there's a channel finder, all you do is you type in your zip code and then it'll tell you what the station is on for, you know, basically your, when you're flipping the channels. Around here in my zip code 01752, it's 62-3. So if you go and you flip the channels up to 62 and you go to the third level of 62, I know this sounds really complicated. That's where I would find.
But now this isn't on your cable box. You have to switch the input to the antenna.
Yeah, basically to the digital antenna. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't believe, I mean, that was the only listing when I did the search earlier today. It didn't say anything about Dish Network number 687 or anything like that. It only gave me the 62-3 for that particular station. So
yeah, same with me, Dan. When I typed in my zip code, that was what it said. It told me that I had channel 15.3. But that there was not a, it didn't say that there was a DirecTV or a Dish option. So I would assume that it's not, that it's probably just this over-the-air digital station that you would need to get a digital antenna for. But I don't, a lot of people in cities have these?
Yeah, I think so. In fact, I think there was an As Seen on TV, and it's such a hoax because they talk about how you can get millions of free channels, and it really depends on what kind of reception you get from the antenna, which direction you're pointing it. It's no longer the case where you have to go onto your roof and set up this clunky thing with the rabbit ears anymore. It's really just something you stick on the wall, and it allows you to access some of these free networks and free stations. But yeah, if you're in an area... I seem to recall like someone telling me that they lived like close to Phoenix, and there's like a lot of wide open airspace and everything out there. No big trees, no huge buildings. And they were able to pick up all kinds of different things off of just their little antenna that they probably paid like $20 for. So, I'm not saying it's an alternative to getting your cable, but it certainly is, if you are cutting the cord, an option for you, if you know you're going to miss network television and then some of these extras on the side.
Get rid of cable.net. Well, has your information on that.
There you go. Mr. McGinn, thank you very much.
Oh, no problem.
Talk to you again, man. In 20 episodes.
Wow. Set your VCRs for that one. Okay. So here we go with the – let's really get things kicked off now. So Comet is, going to be starting in December, and you'll go to Comet TV. .com, right? To find out where it is, to find out if you get the channel. I think that's what it was. And as I'm typing this in right now.
So you'll still be, so no more Destination America, but you'll still be on all the Sinclair, the syndicated channels.
Right. Nothing changes. Nothing changes in that regard. And there's a lot of MGM content on this because I guess it's a partnership between Sinclair and MGM.
Oh, there you go.
So there's a lot of good stuff there. All right, let's go to the press release, shall we? And starting December 2nd, Wednesday night, midnight Eastern, fans will be able to watch Ring of Honor on the good old Comet channel in your local market. And at that point, I guess the week before, on the 25th of November, that's when the run of shows on Destination America will come to an end.
Okay. Yeah, luckily I still get the syndicated Sinclair station, so I'll be good to go there as far as DVR and whatnot is.
As do I.
Considered.
As do I. Man, that Providence station is doing great.
Yeah?
With Ring of Honor, yes.
Very good.
Very, very positive.
Well, it used to be CW, but now I think it's NBC, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, isn't it on like after Saturday Night Live,
yeah,
I think?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yep.
It's a good lead in, so it helps. Okay, so that's the Ring of Honor news, and we'll talk more Ring of Honor stuff with Ray Rowe. Also probably going to have the Young Bucks on in a couple of weeks. There you have that. We were trying to get them on for this episode. I actually wanted to have two guests and put a real big whiz-bang show together since we hadn't been together in a while. But Matt had a little conflict with one of his kids, having a teacher conference tonight. So we'll get together and we'll have something from them on the next episode, which we're going to record on November 30th.
Cool. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. They actually said that this will be the first real interview that they've done. They haven't done podcasting or whatever. So they're looking forward to coming on and talking about it. I said we got to talk about the whole contract thing and everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they'll do all that. So that'll be fun. And okay, so let's start to turn our focus to WWE.
Okay.
Because with your boy Seth Rollins tearing his knee up, and they started a world title tournament. What in the world were they all thinking with that? How is it shaping up in your opinion? It started last week, and a lot of fans are, I don't know, just seems like they're not completely jazzed with the first week of the tournament. I didn't watch it, so help me out a little bit.
Okay, so I think the guys that are left, the Elite Eight here, it's actually a pretty strong bracket. So, I mean, I think by this point we don't have to say spoiler-free, but whatever. Spoilers involved if you haven't been caught up. So, before Survivor Series, we're going to see Reigns versus Cesaro, which is an excellent match. Del Rio and Kalisto, who upset Ryback, which is a pretty fun match. Kevin Owens and Neville, which should be good. And Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose, which should also be good. So it's a pretty exciting eight. I think the problem people have is that it's a pretty predictable four, right? I think we're looking at Reigns, Del Rio, Owens, and Ambrose. And I do think due to a lot of the groundswell around Cesaro, it might have been cool if they didn't put him against Reigns here and had him get to Sunday, because he could have maybe been like a believable wild card in there, right? But
right.
He'll be gone before then, because there's no way Reigns is losing here. You know, I think we're going to get a Reigns-Ambrose final. And it seems like they're still undecided as to who is going to turn heel, if either guy. Apparently, according to the rumors, if you believe them, you know, anything more than just like them floating this out here to get people like Triple H, is that Triple H wants Reigns to turn heel and Vince is against it. They want him to stay face. And I can get on board the heel turn, but everything you see floated out there is that they're going to redo Survivor Series 98, where Reigns joins the Authority and goes heel. And I feel like that's lazy. And I think a Reigns heel turn works, but this is the way I've laid it out. You have him lose because Sheamus interferes, tries to cash in, but Reigns is ready this time. Because remember, back at Mania, he got screwed by Rollins. So he's waiting for it. So he spears Sheamus and knocks him out. So now Sheamus' briefcase is gone. And then he turns around and Ambrose rolls him up and gets the win. So no one cheated or anything, but Reigns kind of gets screwed again due to the cash in. And then he snaps and beats the crap out of Ambrose, and he turns heel on his own volition. It wasn't a plot or a plan from the Authority, and now the Authority's stuck. They have Reigns, who's kind of hated but not really aligned with them, and Ambrose, this like beloved champion, kind of in the Foley way from, you know, 98. Like, to me, that's just a little bit different than just that heavy-fisted, ham-fisted Reigns goes with the Authority or Ambrose goes with the Authority. So that's kind of like unique for me. Like, it may be unique for them to do, but I don't know. What are your thoughts? Who do you think is going to win, and what do you think they're going to do?
Well, I think the scenarios that you lay out, kind of an either or situation, the one common thread in this is that the Authority is at the center of it. So as long as that is the case, I don't think it matters which direction they go. I think you're going to get the same thing. You're going to get the same feeling from either guy. The people really seem to dig Ambrose, and they seem to not be as against Reigns as they were before.
Right? Do you think, though, if Ambrose goes heel, I just feel like the setting was. I feel like if you want Reigns to stay face, you need to keep Ambrose face. I don't see Ambrose as a heel getting booed over Reigns. I just don't think it's going to happen.
You know, if it's me, I have the authority come out with their. We've talked about this. You need happy endings. And the bad guy doesn't always have to win. In fact, the bad guy needs to lose more time than not.
Yeah.
And because that's the way the company is built. It was built for Bruno and Backlund and Hogan and Rock, Austin, even the anti-heroes, right? They were still the popular guy.
Right. But and even those John guys, Cena. I feel like there was a shift then. Because even those guys all had short reigns, comparatively speaking. Like, Austin never had a long reign until he was a heel. Like, as
that's
a face.
They were hot. They were hot shot in the belt in the Attitude Era.
Right. I mean, yeah, Cena obviously had long runs, but since then, it seems like we've gotten away from it a bit.
Sure, sure. And I don't mean long. I just mean the bad guy doesn't need to win in a situation like this, and you got to start giving some happy endings, I think, so people have hope. And I think part of the issue is that nothing kind of feels organic. Everything kind of feels just... like you said before, ham-fisted and heavy-handed, and it's just if they start giving people happy endings and doing things that people want, then people would be more inclined to buy the network and watch the shows.
I'd buy the network for a happy ending. I still think, and I know people will probably be pissed if they don't get some kind of heel turn or something, but I still think you have Reigns just go over Ambrose or Owens in the final, stand tall, give him the happy ending, give him the face champion, and just let him go to Mania without any nonsense,
right?
And just see what happens. And then at Mania, I think you have Brock win the Rumble, and I think you do a Brock Reigns rematch. And if the ratings are still tanking or Reigns is bombing out, you just have Brock beat him. If Reigns is doing well and things are looking good, then you have Reigns beat him and establish himself. Like, that, to me, that's a good... like, the match was really good last year, and I think they could have another really good match without the cash-in hanging over them. So I think you will get rid of Sheamus' briefcase as soon as you can, and then set yourself up for Reigns-Brock in the main event of Mania, and just go from there.
Right,
And from what I read today, whether it's true or not, they're saying that the knee injury to Rollins didn't screw up that much for them because he was supposed to lose here anyway to Reigns, and so Mania was pretty much... not changed, you know?
Okay, so then they might be going Brock, because that was the other point. Brock's the most dominant guy.
Right.
And for him to not be part of the tournament is kind of like, this title really doesn't mean that much anymore. Because he's the 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be nice if the... you know, if they can get things worked out with Brock and you can see him a little bit more, I still want to keep him special. But if he could chase the world champ, that'd be pretty cool.
Right.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, have him just run through the Rumble. I mean, that's, they got to get the Rumble back on track anyway after the last couple of years. So, you know, one of the rumors out there, I think JR was the big person trumpeting this, is that maybe the last really good dream match they could have in place is Brock and Batista for Mania. I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. I think it'd be a pretty cool match. I think Brock Reigns does more for them, though, than Brock Batista. Because who's going to lose? I mean, you're going to bring Batista back and have him job again? You know, he's a movie star now. What are you going to do? Have him lose to Brock? And you can't have Brock lose to Batista. Brock's around. I mean, he's a contracted star. You're going to Batista come in short-term and beat him? So I don't see a winner in that scenario.
Yeah, that is not a match I want to see. I saw it a long, long time ago in OVW, and it wasn't any good then.
Oh, and things are a little different now.
Things are a little bit different as far as Brock is concerned, but I've never liked Batista as a wrestler.
Oh, he got better. And now, his last run, he wasn't until the end.
No.
He was very, he looked kind of gassed and lost for a bit, but he got it together towards the end when they were doing the Evolution and Shield stuff. And, it was Evolution Shield. God, it seems like decades ago.
Yeah. Is the PTBN crew venturing for Rumble this year?
No. I mean, there may be some in attendance. We're actually a group of us, eight of us are going to TLC next month in Boston. And then we'll probably be off for the most part until SummerSlam in Brooklyn again. That's my guess. Although I still have like pipe dreams of going to Mania, but that's an extreme long shot.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a year.
Well, NXT just announced they're doing a show Rumble weekend, so you guys are too, I guess.
Nope.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
Not in Orlando. Not in Orlando. We are going to be... is it announced yet? I don't know if it's announced yet. I'm looking at the schedule right now, but I don't know if it's announced.
Yeah, NXT just said they're recording shows that weekend. So, no, this will be the first Rumble in a few years. We're not at... So we went to 14 and 15 up here in the Northeast. So we'll see if anything else pops up in the area, but I'm not sure if we'll be in anything between TLC and SummerSlam again.
SummerSlam, yeah, is Brooklyn again, right?
Yeah, at least this year, maybe even the next. I feel like they announced two.
Yeah, that's what I think as well.
And it's the whole weekend again. They said NXT and Raw, three straight nights again.
It's announced. 1:15 in January 15, Indianapolis.
Is that the weekend of the Rumble?
I'm just running down dates.
Okay, sorry.
1:15 Indianapolis, January 16, Collinsville, Illinois, January 22nd, Asheville, North Carolina, and then January 23rd, the big event at the Infinite Energy Center, formerly the Gwinnett Center in Duluth, Georgia. And
okay,
tickets are on sale.
That's the night before the Rumble.
Yeah, so tickets are on sale to all those events right now at ROHWrestling.com. We will be in Dallas, though, for Super Card of Honor on April 1st.
There you go.
So that's going to be fun.
The tournament, I think, and I was a little disappointed that the whole show wasn't at Survivor Series. Also, part of my disappointment is they're really setting up this Wyatt's versus Undertaker and Kane thing. And it's tailor-made for Survivor Series. The Wyatts have four guys. But they made it a tag match where two of the Wyatts will face Taker and Kane. Like, what is the point of that? And last week on Raw, they destroyed all of them. They beat all four of them on their own. So it's a weird... I don't know what they're doing. Weird stuff.
I don't either.
I don't get it. I mean, I know they wanted to do something special for Taker because it's the 25th anniversary. I think they're building it around him. But I don't get why you just don't find two guys. Like, why not? I mean, I don't know if Sting can wrestle, but... there had to be two other guys that could find to put with Taker and Kane to make it cool. Why just do a tag at Survivor Series? You might as well do at least one 4-on-4 match. So we'll have four matches within the tournament. We'll have that match, Charlotte versus Paige for the Divas title. And I think that's all that's been announced so far. So I'm sure we'll get some other stuff tonight because that's it. And it's Sunday.
Well, there you have it. It doesn't seem to have a lot of buzz. Other than the world title.
Right. I think the problem, it's a rare one where you kind of know who's going to win, but you kind of don't because, like, I don't think too many people would be surprised if Ambrose won. Like, I think all four are somewhat believable. Like, Del Rio is kind of the long shot, but, I mean, really, knowing them, would you be super surprised if Del Rio somehow ended up as champion with what they're paying him and how they, I mean, he essentially squashed John Cena at the last pay-per-view, so... you know, it wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world to me. You know, could they make Owens into their Mankind or into their Rock? I mean, he's kind of found himself as a real douchebag heel, but what if they had him face Reigns in the finals and the Authority screwed Owens and went with Reigns because they hate him because he's a fat slob, and then Owens becomes their top face? Like, they could do something like that. I mean, if this were 15 years ago, I think maybe. I don't think in this environment that they will do something like that. But, I mean, Owens
I like
is
that,
a Triple H
I like
guy.
That scenario. I like that. That would be interesting. The best pay-per-view of the era in which I worked was the Deadly Game pay-per-view at Survivor Series from St. Louis.
Yeah, so. It's hard to capture that magic. I mean, the thing that would hurt a Reigns heel turn is that he's already kind of a heel. And he is, his pops are better. You know, he is over more than he was, but, you know, Rock was like mega over in that fall going into Survivor Series. So that's why it was such a surprise when he turned, you know?
Right. And that's what made the heat so hot.
Right.
And
plus
I love
Austin
that.
Getting screwed. I mean, you don't have that here. It's just, there's a lot of similarities, but it's just such a different situation that it's hard to really compare.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a mistake not putting the 8 on pay-per-view because they have like 8 pretty good spots here. And you could tease a little bit more of the stuff if you have Cesaro and Ziggler in the mix on the show itself. You know what I mean? You can tease the upsets a little bit more. Like, as we head into the final four at Survivor Series, it's just a little less room for swerviness. Even if you don't swerve it, you at least have the tease hanging over it. And that's getting eliminated because you're taking out the guys that you could maybe swerve with, either Cesaro or Dolph.
Mm-hmm. I am very interested to see what the future holds with whether or not they force the ask Cena to come back early, or if there's any other departures. This was sort of off the beaten path, but I did want to comment on it briefly. I have a bit of a problem with Billy Gunn being let go.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Gunn was not fired for failing a drug test. Billy Gunn was fired for creating a public relations headache. And that's it.
Well, no, he was doing that without them knowing, though, right?
They didn't know he was doing powerlifting?
That. Right. They didn't know he was doing that on the side.
What difference does that make?
I'm just saying some companies require you to disclose your outside activities.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
How about kiss my ass and don't ask questions?
All right, Steve Austin. But
well, no, seriously, if I play softball on the weekend.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, is he competing for like prize money and stuff?
I don't know. And what difference does it make?
I don't know.
It's not like he's, you know, working for the federal government. You know, he doesn't have a classified job.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
if you were playing softball and like snorting coke and then you got busted for a drug test, you'd probably be in trouble at work.
If you got drug tested at work,
no,
you would get in trouble with work.
It's illegal. What he did was illegal, right? I mean, he's doing steroids.
No, his testosterone level was way too high.
All right. Well, if you're playing softball,
he failed a drug test in a competition that had nothing to do with his job.
I know, but I don't think it's because. I'm just going to back down now because I know he's your boy, so I'm not going to overstep. But I think. I'm not saying they should have definitely fired him. I'm just saying I don't think it's as unjustifiable as some have made it seem. That's all.
I understand where the argument is because it's a public relations issue. If I was in charge of WWE, I would say, well, he has to go. But it's not right.
Sure, but you also know he'll probably be back in like 6 months.
Well, that's the other thing, too.
I'm sure they said Billy Lalo, don't run your mouth. Don't do something stupid. Don't, right. You know what I mean? Don't go to TNA. Just shut up for 6 months and we'll bring you back after WrestleMania. You know, it's quietly after Mania.
Don't go on the Kevin Kelly show.
Well, I didn't say that.
And spill your guts.
Have him come on the Kevin Kelly show. We'll talk about other stuff.
Okay. No, that would be boring. People would kill us then. You bring Billy Gunn on the show and you don't talk about the reason he got fired.
Well, yeah, I'm talk about it, but tell him not to. He doesn't have to go shooting on them. He doesn't have to rip them apart. You can just say, well, yeah, you know, this is what happened. That's all.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to tear them up.
Anyway, I did just want to bring that up and comment on it briefly.
No, it's too bad because it seemed like he was, you know, he was getting some good reviews. He was pretty good on that Breaking Ground show and he was a good guy to have down there helping train. Have you watched any of that show yet?
I haven't, but I've heard good things.
It's really good. Yeah. I realized some of the guys that were down there, like Robbie Brookside and some others that were down there training. And
by the way, our buddies at the Monster Factory, Danny Cage, they started doing that Breaking Ground concept many, many, many months ago.
Right. It's on their YouTube channel, right?
Yeah. So, but anyway, I think that the a lot of the stuff now, and we had a camp a couple of weeks ago in Ring of Honor, and we talked to the guys, great group of trainees. We talked to them about WWE. We talked to them about TNA, the whole landscape of wrestling. Okay. And as far as WWE is concerned, the one thing, if you want to work there, and I know a lot of people in the wrestling industry listen to this podcast, if you want to work in WWE, you can have no skeletons in your closet. You must have, they will look at your social media, your Facebook, your Instagram, your whatever, your Twitter. They are going to look for anything that could eliminate you from consideration.
And if you do have anything, I think it's probably best to be honest about it and like tell them up front, don't try and bury it.
Right, because they're going to find it or it's going to get found. People had, you know, there was that girl a few months ago.
Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins' girlfriend, yeah.
No, I was thinking of another girl.
Oh.
She had written, she was down there for a tryout, and they found like some, there were some things that she had put up on Twitter like 4 years before that were racist in nature. And, you know, news broke that she was trying out, and somebody had screen grabbed or saved those Twitter tidbits and forwarded them to WWE or reposted them online, and that was it for her tryout. So,
because Rollins' girlfriend was the Nazi stuff.
She was into Nazi art and things like that. So,
heading to WrestleMania, a big lack of star power, a big gaping hole, and all their part-time guys seem to be unavailable. So the rumors you hear are that they wanted this year to be like the big final blowout of like this part-timer mania madness, and that starting after that, they were just going to say, screw it all, we're going with our guys. I don't know how realistic that was, but they may be forced into it sooner, right? So Austin, probably not happening. Daniel Bryan, who knows, his doctor's fighting over him. Shawn Michaels has said he's not coming. And I don't know if he's even a needle mover at this point. I mean, when he came out on Raw a few weeks ago, he got like zero reaction. So I don't know if he's even in the mix as someone legitimate to be a guy that could move the needle. The Rock, he's got, you know, apparently a movie going on, but there's also a rumor that he doesn't want to risk getting hurt again, so he might not be wrestling. You have Brock. You have Goldberg, who's been making some, you know, waves about maybe wanting to come in for Mania, and I think that may happen just because they have no one else. I mean, do they bring Hogan back in time for that, or is he still kind of persona non grata? I mean, he's finally shut up. He's doing what we said Billy Gunn should do and what we said Hogan should do. Remember, in the early days, he was running his mouth a lot, and now he's kind of gone away. And do they bring him back in time for Mania? Brett, I mean, he can't wrestle. Like, who out there is left? I mean, Foley's cooked. Sting, you pretty much broke his neck. I mean, who's left? Who's Taker going to fight? Big word is that they might do Taker Cena finally. Is it too late for that? Like, what do you think, Kevin? I mean, would you just bite the bullet and say, well, this year we're going to do this? But the problem is they're in a 100,000-seat arena. So what can you do to fill up that arena?
I think it's a cast of thousands. I think the blueprint for what you're going to see this year was sort of made last year when it comes to the cool entrances. And I think it's going to be a lot of smoke and mirrors, a lot of part-timers, a lot of celebrity involvement, a little mix of everything, because there is not one match that's going to sell this pay-per-view. One name you left out, I don't think you mentioned, was Stone Cold Steve Austin, which...
I said Austin.
You did?
Yeah, I don't think he'll... I mean, I think it's a very low percentage that he...
Low percentage. Now, I know we were doing this for a while. Will Austin wrestle? Will Hogan be at Mania? Who are you more likely to say now is going to be in Mania, involved in Mania?
Well, involved, I think Austin. Austin's going to be there, without a doubt. He'll be on the show. I don't think he will... I mean, he's probably not going to wrestle. So... I would say, I still think there's a better chance that Hogan wrestles than Austin. And I think there's a decent chance Hogan's back, because a lot of this is blown over and there's been a lot worse stuff that's come out, including one major news story that's broke today that's going to dominate the airwaves, I think, for a while. That's going to be confirmed tomorrow. And I think Hogan's kind of forgotten now. And I think he would quietly kind of come back. And if he came on, did an interview with, you know, Renee Young or something, and or maybe goes on Sports Center with the coach, you know, and comes out, you know, I'm sorry for what I did. I regret what it did for me and my fans. I'm sorry I let them down. I just wanted one more chance to be Hulk Hogan. And, you know, Mania is his big return, you know. So I could definitely see that happening, because they're going to need a draw. Whether he's still a draw or not, I don't know. But
Yeah, multiple layers of a lot of a draw. There's significant buzz with the populace. And don't discount the fact that the stadium itself is a draw.
Right, yep.
Because I have friends of mine live in different parts of the country. Buddies of mine from Michigan are talking about going just because it's in Jerry World and there's going to be 100,000 people there. And it's WrestleMania. So they've already bought tickets and plane tickets, and they're not big, big, big wrestling fans.
Right.
But they want to go because they know it's going to be like, wow. So
right.
Good.
So is the top of a card Reigns, Brock, Cena, Taker? I mean, is that enough?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's where you know, that's kind of one thing that you hang your hat, but I don't know if it's going to be you know, one or two matches that sell it, it's going to be and Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold and.
Right. And I mean, Triple H Rollins, I think, was rumored at one point, but now Rollins probably won't be back. So does Triple H get a match? I mean, if Rock's not there, that does that eliminate the Rousey stuff? Is she even bankable now? I think she still is, but
yeah, that's what we could talk about that as well, because
right.
Did that loss on Saturday diminish her star power at all?
Right. No, I mean, it changed her star power, but I don't think it's diminished it. Like, I still think it's a big get for them. You know, their luck, of course, that they finally hook up with like a relevant big time mainstream star that loves them and then shoots the bed. But that said, I think it's I think it's possible she'll be there. I don't know if that movie, she's still shooting that movie during that time or what's going on, but she did say she's going to take a layoff now from fighting for a bit. So
I think it gives her the ability to come in and be vulnerable, because imagine, let's say it's Stephanie who says, I saw you get your ass kicked right. by Holly Holm, and I have to wonder if that little head of yours is still, you know, screwed on right, blah, 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 blah.
And then she beats her with the pedigree.
And then, you know, push, shove, and then finally Rousey snatches her arm.
Well, the idea I liked all along for it was Triple H, Rock, Rousey in Rock's corner, Stephanie and Triple H's. If Rock wins, Rousey gets, you know, 3 minutes with Stephanie or 1 minute with Stephanie, you know, in the ring, and then she just
sure.
taps her to the armbar or whatever. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. You know, even if you get Goldberg, who does he fight? You're not going to do Goldberg Brock. So does he fight, you know, like Ryback? I mean, who does he fight?
I don't know.
Fight,
I'd be interested. It'd be interesting to see. Okay, well, do we want to take a timeout now?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so we'll come back. We'll speak with our pal Ray Rowe. Do you want to tell everybody, because we've been off for a while, do you want to tell everybody where they can find the Kevin Kelly Show?
Yeah, sure. PlaySimulation.com, of course, is the main place to do it. You can do the podcast banner on the right-hand side, the Kevin Kelly Show banner as well. We have a Facebook page. You can do Facebook.com/PlaySimulation or Facebook.com. Backslash Kevin Kelly Show PTBN. You can reach us either of those places. And in iTunes, we have a dedicated feed just for this show, Kevin Kelly Show. Search that out on iTunes. You can also check out the Place to Be podcast feed. You get all the other shows plus this show on there as well if you're interested. So be sure to check both of those out. And also rate us. Give us a couple star ratings while you're in there because that helps us get some more visibility too. So be sure to check that out. And if you want to reach out to us, Twitter's the place to do it. Place number 2B Nation or at Real Kevin Kelly.
That's where the show can be found. But you already know that because you're here, and we thank you for that. So spread the word. Tell your friends. And when we come back, we'll talk to our pal Ray Rowe, one half of War Machine, on the hunt for the World Tag Team titles, and has a cool documentary out all about his recovery from a horrific near-fatal motorcycle accident. That's next on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation and our website home, placetobenation.com.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of the Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, the Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner, at least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at placetobenation.com. You can check out Scott Criscullo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including Main Event, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Phil Schneider's Digging in the Crates, and our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse. And join Pro Wrestling Only's Will and I on the Dangerous Alliance podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to enjoy as well. We feature the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., the Kings of Sport, led by Live Audio Wrestling's Godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops,
and the TJ McLoon Show, featuring great guests from around the world of sports journalism. PTBN also proudly features the Richard the Mailman podcast, specializing in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN also is the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network. That's the pro wrestling only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, Lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds, wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Goodwill Wrestling with Good Old Will from Texas.
There's Tag Teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brainbuster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
And we're back on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the PlaceToBeNation.com website. And you heard all about how you can be a part of the Kevin Kelly Show. One man who is part of our archives with his previous appearance returns for another visit. We told you he'd come back. And he's back now. And that's Ray Rowe. Ray, welcome to the Kevin Kelly Show. Thanks for coming back, man. I know you're busy as you put the real life hat back on.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for having time for me, Kevin.
Yeah, man.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Right here. Same here. And I'm so proud of you. Let me just start by saying that, man. I am absolutely thrilled for you, for your success, for you and Hanson, what you've done, and the remarkable recovery that you've made from what happened on August 12th, 2014. And just it's a miracle. It's a miracle upon miracles. I can't get over it enough.
Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. From the first time that you heard about it, in the very first conversation we had, you've been nothing but supportive and positive. A lot of people, when they heard about the severity of the accident, were just devastated for me. In their own way, they were almost mourning and doubtful that I would come back, and you never really expressed any of that. So you were definitely a source of positivity through that recovery and through the whole injury. So it was definitely appreciated.
Yeah, and again, to for those that haven't seen the documentary, The Path, we'll talk about how people can view it, can order it, so they can tell that story. But just briefly, in a nutshell, can you revisit some of those details from that day for people that don't know what happened?
Absolutely. August 12th, 2014, I was riding my motorcycle in Texas. I was going about 55, 50 miles an hour, and a girl was texting while she was driving. she pulled out, she blew a stop sign and went right in front of me, and I smashed into the side of her going about 50 miles an hour. I mean, I slammed on the brake and I tried to turn, but there was just literally no time. So I went up, you know, I shattered my left arm, my left humerus, completely shattered it on impact. I broke my thumb. I went up with the handlebars and smashed out the side of her, her side window, with my face, breaking my nose above the cartilage. So actually the bone of my skull, and, badly lacerating above my left eye. Doctors initially told me I would never wrestle again. Then they told me that, it would take me a year minimum to come back into the ring. And, 6 months later, 6 months and 2 days later, I had my first professional wrestling match back after the injury.
It's just, again, it's a miracle. I look back and I think about, you know, just how life is a game of inches. I've said that, you know, all the time, and how inches, could have changed your trajectory and changed the course of everything. And I think about Magnum TA, who was a big hero of mine when I was growing up and before I got in the wrestling business, and then just see him go through what he went through. Again, it's just a miracle.
It really is. And like the ambulance, the paramedics who responded on scene and the emergency room doctors, all were literally shocked that I was alive. Like the paramedic told me point blank, he said that he had never responded to a motorcycle accident with the specifics of mine without a body bag. He told me directly that I should be dead. Like, not like a, wow, you're, you know, this is, you could have been hurt so much worse. He was like, he's like, dude, you don't understand. You shouldn't be breathing. So that, you know, it really kind of, I think going through that, as much as, you know, like a lot of my, you know, my background wasn't the easiest and, you know, all that stuff, but that accident, you know, really crystallized perspective, what's important in life, what's not important, you know, what I really, really want out of this life and stuff like that. So it definitely crystallized a lot for me. So I'm in one part of me is, you know, regretful that it happened, but a much larger part of me is very thankful that I was able to go through an experience like that and come through the other side and have these changes in my life. It's literally, you know, as cheesy as it might sound, it's a second chance on looking at things. It's a new perspective. It's a new drive, a new focus and all that stuff. So I'm at a point now where I'm peaceful with it. I'm no longer angry about the accident. I'm peaceful and I'm thankful.
Yeah. And again, somebody that's seen your entire Ring of Honor career from the beginnings to now, you're better than ever. You and Jay Briscoe, you look like you have fun beating the hell out of one another on Friday. You and Hanson and Moose on Saturday had a hell of a time beating the hell out of the Kingdom. It just looked like fun. It looked like you're just having so much fun every step along the way.
Yeah, it's really true. And I mean, you know, that might, you know, might say something about my mindset, but it's for me, fighting is fun. You know, there are very few things in this life that I enjoy better than going toe to toe with somebody and throwing leather and may the best man win. You know, I'm not always going to win. I can't win all the time, but I'm going to go down swinging. And when I do that, I know I'll die with my boots on. I'm good with that. Whatever happens, but I'm going to take my best shot going down.
So this black and white picture that's kind of on the cover of the documentary, and for somebody that has like a broken face and it's a pretty hard look you got there, man. You pull that hard look off real good.
Thank you. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not my first facial laceration. That's for damn sure. But and I'm sure it won't be my last, but yeah, that in that picture, I've got, I've got a broken nose in the actual, the bone, not the cartilage. The my nose is still relatively straight, which is surprising, but, and you know, the laceration, that picture was taken less than, I think, 5 days after the accident. So it was before my surgery. And that was the emergency room stitches in my eye and, you know, whatever, bruising or, you know, whatever was there from the actual impact of the car window.
Now, I know I've got my copy of The Path. I was proud to be part of the project and was happy to lend my voice and help tell your story a little bit from my perspective.
Funny side piece real quick before I don't want to sidetrack you, but I'm going to sidetrack you really quickly.
Yes.
You were a part of this process and you lended your voice, and you're actually my girl's favorite part of the documentary. You were her favorite character, so to speak. Anytime that through the process of when we were editing or going through revisions or the whole process, cause I screened it for her first, you know, she helped me kind of help, with the editing process. She was very integral to the project, and she was very touched by the things you said and the way that you said it. You were actually her favorite interview by far.
Well, I thank her for that. And it's easy. And I think you're kind of at that same point now. You're much younger than me, which is, but you've kind of come to that same point in your life and letting a lot of stuff go and moving forward and just being happy really lends to a different perspective. You know, you never forget who you are, where you came from, but it just makes everything so right all the time.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you in this. Now, if you want to go and we'll talk more about it later on, of course, but just because I'm talking about it now, I want everybody to go to the website, RaymondXRowe.com. And it's there that you can get your own DVD copy of The Path, the documentary story of the road to recovery and beyond from Ray Rowe, and you'll hear from all of us. But anyway, that's pretty cool.
The DVD is available on RaymondXRowe.com. Also, if DVDs are not your style, or if you live outside the country, or anything else, it's also a digital download is also available of the. So there's two formats to watch it, and the digital download is available right from that website. It's a direct download, and then I think it comes in an MP4 format. I'm not the most technical guy, but I believe it's an MP4 format. So it can be played on any type of computer. Also, just recently, you can actually order the Path documentary off ROHWrestling.com. As well as any, you can get it in person at any independent show that I'm at, or live at the merch tables at any Ring of Honor show as well.
There you have it. So fans, this Friday in Nashville, for example, you have the opportunity to purchase The Path right then and there when you're at the Nashville Fairgrounds for the national television taping for Ring of Honor Wrestling this Friday. So that's great. Now, okay, so you've gone through the path. You have now made the recovery, and everything is now life's easy, right? Isn't it? Or is this where the hard work begins? What do you do now? What's the next goals you're setting for yourself?
Well, the next immediate goal is a Ring of Honor Tag Gold. After coming back from the injury, you know, the hard work never really stopped. It was redirected. I'm an incredibly, a person that, you know, I might not be the biggest guy, I might not be the strongest guy, I might not be the, you know, the fastest guy, but I was born, you know, my father, I learned my work ethic from my father, and he said there, you can make any excuse you want, but there's never an excuse for letting someone outwork you. And I believe that. I believe that hustle will beat talent when talent doesn't work. And there's a lot of talent in this world that doesn't work. So I tried to never be outworked. I'm going to work harder in the gym. I'm going to work harder on the road. I'm going to work harder in the ring. And that hustle is going to change, you know, my luck. It has my entire life. So we achieved a major goal in 2015, after the surgery, after the comeback, when we went to Pro Wrestling Noah in Japan. Going to Japan has been a lifelong goal of mine since I learned what Japan was. I wanted to go there and wrestle there. We went over there and our debut show was in Korakuen Hall in the main event. at Corgan Hall. I mean, it's literally dream come true quality stuff. So that got a big check mark off the to-do list. And the one glowing, blinking, flashing thing on my to-do list is Ring of Honor Tag Team Gold. Ring of Honor has been where I wanted to be my entire career. You know, people ask me, do you want to go to WWE? Do you want to go to TNA? And then my answer was always, no, I want to wrestle in Ring of Honor. I want to wrestle in Ring of Honor, and I want to wrestle in Japan. Those have been my only goals as a professional wrestler. And to be a champion in Ring of Honor, to represent the brand, to be the face of that division, of the tag team division, in a company like Ring of Honor is beyond, you know, the wildest dreams of me as a kid when I was dreaming about being a wrestler. I mean, that's and that's been a passionate drive. This is something that motivates me. This is something that I've never done before. This is something that I need to do. I feel like I'm not complete. I haven't made this comeback. I feel like that's where we were going. That's where our trajectory was. And then it got cut off.
And
now
that's right. Now December 18th, yeah. Man, you got the shot.
December 18th, we have our first real shot. You know, I heard that there were some rumblings. We were, you know, right before my injury, we were mixing it up with the Briscoes. Like you said, me and Jay Briscoe, we love beating each other up. Mark Briscoe, Hanson, we have this great rivalry. It's a respect-driven rivalry, but, you know, they're the top dogs when it comes to tag team wrestling. They define Ring of Honor tag team wrestling. They define, hell, I'm gonna go out and say they define tag team wrestling on the planet. You're not going to find many teams that can rival what the Briscoes have done, will do, and can do as tag team competitors. And we were standing toe to toe with them, trading leather, going to town. And there were some rumblings that we were in contention for the next tag team title shot. I was injured. That was taken away, you know, to go from the bottom, never not sharing if I was going to be able to wrestle again. You know, this thing that I've dreamed about, this thing that I've wanted, this thing that I've needed was taken away from me. Now I've done the path. I did the documentary. Everybody's saying, oh man, you're back. You're so happy. We're so happy you're back. Yes, I'm back. But now what's next? We did Japan. Great. We want to go back to Japan. But what's next? What's next? What's next? This thing that hasn't completed that journey. I feel like my journey still, I'm not back until we achieve that goal. We have our first real shot at the Ring of Honor Tag Team titles on December 18th at Final Battle. It's been more than a year in the making. And I get goosebumps when I start thinking about it. I start salivating. You know what I mean? I can't be calm as I start talking and thinking about having that within our grasp.
I hear it in your voice, and I can read your body language through the phone, because it's, again, I always feel that intensity as you guys come to the ring. You stalk the ring, and it's all moves are forward with you guys. And there is no drop off in intensity from the beginning of the match to the end. And the results are what the results are. You're going to have your hands full with the Kingdom, and we'll see where the chips will fall where they may. And if fortune shines on War Machine, you guys will be the new World Tag Team Champions. But it's going to be entertaining nonetheless. So, okay, so I want to talk with you about Japan quickly, too, because obviously you and Killer Elite Squad have something very special as well. And the rivalry in NOAH, the rivalry in Japan, the rivalry that we've seen out from you four men as well in Ring of Honor. There's something special about Archer and Harry Smith as well. And it sort of brings out, I think, the best in both teams.
Oh, I completely agree with that. Those guys are probably the most physically dominant, two of the most physically dominant professional wrestlers on the face of the earth today. You know, Harry is 6'5", 285 pounds. Lance is, you know, 6'8", 280, 290 pounds, something like that. I mean, these are huge individuals. Hanson and I'm 6'1", Hanson 6'3". These are the only guys that we look up at. You know, we're in the ring as the smaller guys. We're used to having the physical advantage, the strength advantage. A lot of teams are maybe more polished as far as more fancy stuff they do, or more speed, or more agility, or whatever. These guys are, you know, they match us strength for strength. We go, you know, we go power, they go power. You know, very, very similar with the Briscoes. If you're noticing a pattern, we kind of go after the biggest, the toughest teams, and then all of a sudden there's this rivalry there because we don't back down. A lot of teams, like when I liken it to a lot of teams when they are a lot of boxers, when they would fight Mike Tyson, would be finished before the fight started because they would psych themselves out. They would lose the psychology game. And then they'd beat themselves. They would be unconfident. They wouldn't be ready for the fight, or they wouldn't be sharp. Whereas when Hansen and I go into that situation, I feel like the stiffer the competition, the more we rise to that challenge. You know, the harder the fight, the more fight comes out of us. And I think it's a very unique set of attributes. A lot of people will wilt under that pressure, where, you know, the higher the stakes, the bigger the stage, the more we excel, the more intense we get. You know, I myself, you talk about that intensity. I'm a very intense person. You know, I know that about myself. I have that self-awareness to know that I'm an incredibly intense person. I've been told that my entire life. And the more pressure that comes on, the higher that goes up. So when you put us in the ring with guys like Harry and Lance, who are the best, you know, two of the best in the world and two of the most physically dominant in the world, you want to talk pressure. You don't talk pressure to perform. You don't talk pressure to excel, to be victorious. You know, we're one of the only teams in the last, 5 years that have clean victories over Harry and Lance. We beat Killer Elite Squad dead in the middle of the ring. These are former IWGP champions. These are current reigning GHC champions. They're former NWA World Tag Team champions. I mean, like how about that for a resume? How many other teams have those three things? You know, and I know for a fact, if we come away with the Ring of Honor titles in December, I know for a fact the Killer Elite Squad is going to come knocking.
Yeah,
because, you know, they love to fight just as much as we do, and they feel they have their number, or they have our number. We feel we have their number. So it's only natural that people, you know, and people kind of like to see that fight. So, I mean, I will fight them anywhere, you know, in Japan. They came to Ring of Honor. We went to Japan to find them. You know, it's something that literally will span the globe. Now, I don't know if we're going to meet neutral ground. We'll go to Australia, wherever it goes, we'll go and fight them. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, that just them, just like the Briscoes. And I think that's speaks to the intensity and the physical aggression that Hansen and I bring to the ring, that teams that intimidate people or overpower other people see us as rivals. We're the new guys on the block, and all of a sudden we're attracting all the big dogs in the yard.
Well, there's big money matches in both the U.S. and Japan for War Machine, no doubt about that. But I know that on the local level, down in Texas, you're working with some young up and comers in helping them to carve their own journey, their own path, if you will, in professional wrestling. How is that going, and how is that helping you in your career?
Oh, it's helping the next generation, I think, is essential to continuing excellence. You know, Ring of Honor has a tagline: they creating excellence. It's, you know, they're proud of the fact that all these guys who have started in Ring of Honor have gone on to dominate globally, you know, universally in other organizations, or, you know, in various parts of the wrestling world, you know, because that's what keeps this business growing and evolving. You're always bringing, you know, you're always reloading the chamber. You're always preparing the next generation. Because there's turnover in this business, you know, people get old, people get hurt, people, you know, tragedies happen. There's always that next man up mentality. Who's next? Where's everything going? So I've been helping at a school in Texas and with Masada, who, you know, his name speaks for himself in as far as international, on the international level, and Chris Marvel, who's a local guy in Texas and, you know, had some success in Mexico. You know, he's actually had a couple matches for Ring of Honor, in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, incredibly talented guys. And we're helping young guys. You know, I've taken certain guys under my wing, at various points in my career. One of those guys is Shane Taylor, who I helped to train and bring up. You know, he's a guy I knew from high school wrestling, and I helped tutor him and mentor him. And he actually moved from Cleveland, Ohio to Houston, Texas, so that we could train together. We could lift together. We could travel together. We could be back on the road together. And he's a guy who I've been helping and been mentoring and trying to, bring with me no matter where I go. So it's definitely rewarding for me, because in that teaching, I'm remembering lessons, or I'm seeing things from a new perspective. So it's definitely a rewarding experience.
Well, and I know that both Shane and whether it's Shane and Keith Lee and Moonshine Mantell, who I met at their most recent tryout camp, everybody that comes in contact with you, Ray, is better for having had the experience. And the same for me, because I remember that we were doing TV in Philly or pay-per-view or something like that. And I was like, hey, ride with me. And cause I want to get to know you a little bit. And so you kind of told me a little bit of your story as we drove over to the building that day. And as soon as I got to know you, man, I liked you. And I'm just so happy for you and so proud of you for where you're going and what you're doing. And, you know, you're taking care of my buddy Hanson too, which is always nice. So, because he's fragile and he's broken a couple of times. So we don't need him broken anymore.
No. Well, that's, you know, we can share that punishment. So it works.
That's exactly right. He loves breaking your balls, which he's very good at. And it's a fun team, and we'll get to know more about you guys. You know, there's this aura about War Machine, and that's part of what has made you so cool and so identifiable for the audience. You know, there's comparisons to the modern day Road Warriors and beyond, but man, there's so much depth and dimension with you guys. We've just barely begun to scratch the surface. I know the future is extremely bright. We got to wrap this up, but because I got to let you go. But one more time, tell everybody where they can order The Path, whether on DVD or a digital download.
You go to Raymond, RayMondX, Rowe, ROWE. So that's my full name, .com. RaymondXRowe.com. That's also my Twitter handle, my Instagram address, and my Facebook address. Everything that I'm out on social media is Raymond X Rowe. I try to make it as simple and as accessible as possible. Just, if you can spell my name, you can find me on social media, on everything. It's Raymond X Rowe. So the website is Raymond X Rowe.
And, from there, you'll be able to see that incredible journey, the incredible story of The Path. And, the story that began on August 12th, 2014, how it exists today and the future chapters and how they're all going to unfold. Fans in Nashville, you'll be able to see Ray Rowe this coming Friday, along with his tag team partner Hanson, their War Machine. They'll be there this Friday for a huge national television taping. But the big one is, of course, on Friday, December 18th, Philadelphia, live on pay-per-view. It is going to be the Kingdom defending world tag team titles against War Machine and Ray Rowe. Next time you join us, hopefully you'll be one half of the World Tag Team Champions. And I want to wish you the best of luck and continued success, and I'll see you this Friday in Nashville.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
All right, buddy. That's Ray Rowe, everybody. He's our pal. He's here on the Kevin Kelly Show. We'll continue with more after this. And we continue with the Gab Fest, the Talking Heads, the panoply of wonderfulness here on the Kevin Kelly Show. We'll take a peek inside the world of sports here in a few minutes, and we'll cover the NFL. We'll relive the pain of the World Series and whatever else is on our minds. But quickly, JR, let's go to the plugs. Let's look at the website. Let's talk about our great sponsors, including Boneheads.
Yeah, I was there Saturday night for the fight. I thought about it a little bit. The Rousing Home fight. Tremendous as always. They have a lot going on this Monday, a week from tonight. They have a special limited edition kind of night, like a special invite kind of party, where they've been aging these new sauces in whiskey barrels from one of the local bars in Providence, and they're releasing them. So it's this whiskey sauce aged barrel release party next Monday night. So be sure, if you're in the area, to stop by, visit the guys and girls at Boneheads, and check out those delicious sauces. A couple weeks ago, I was in attendance. That was an invite only. They had us come in, and they filmed an episode of The Phantom Gourmet, which is a local TV guy that that goes around and interviews different restaurants in different spots. So that'll be on here shortly as well, a local TV. So if you've never been to Boneheads, you want to check out what they're all about, I'll let you know on our social media when that's going to be airing locally here. So you can check that out too. But I'm sure if you've in Rhode Island listened to the show, you've probably been to Boneheads. So be sure to check it out. Best food ever. Great guys. Great atmosphere.
Completely, complete wonderfulness. The wings I've had from Boneheads were fantastic, and I can't wait to have them again. What else is that? What's going on? What are the doings and happenings on PTBN? There's always so much.
So, massive show dropped today. Between the Sheets, episode number 17, looking at the week of November 10th through the 16th, 1996. Chris and Bix, joined by Dave Prazak from Shimmer. It is a long episode, but maybe the longest podcast episode in PlaceMunition.com history. They talk about Kurt Hennig's jumping from WCW to WWF. From WWF to WCW, Gray Sasuke's influence, and a lot of other stuff that went down. There was a very busy time period in wrestling, so be sure to listen to that show. You should be listening to that show every week anyway. It's a fantastic inside look into the dirt sheets from different different weeks throughout the 90s, and Bix and Chris know their stuff and always have a great guest on, so be sure to check that show out. Couldn't recommend it any more highly to you. Also, new episode of Scott and I show, Place to Be Podcast. We took a look at Judgment Day 2005 last week, and our next one is going to be ECW One Night Stand 2005. So looking forward to doing that next week. New episode of the Where the Big Boys Play, Beach Blast 92, Chad and Parv back in the house. Of course, their show is excellent as well. So tons of podcasts for you to enjoy here at PlaceToBeNation.com. The feeds are always up and running, always churning out great show after great show. I recommend all of them. So clear your schedules and listen in to all the wrestling podcasting you can handle. PlaceHumanation.com. Much more to come each and every week. Be sure to check us out. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well.
The Seinfeld rewatch series has helped me become an even bigger fan of Seinfeld.
Yeah?
So, yeah, because it helped me remember things that I had forgotten.
There you go.
Which, there's so many, like, the, you know, everybody remembers the episode where George had the girl and he wound up stealing her clock.
Yes.
And Costanza.
Yep.
But there was a line that Elaine said on that show that, because she was trying to get that expense report for that hat done. And she's like, they're going to take me down like Nixon. And I swear I heard that on the rewind. And I went crazy when I heard that line. So anyway,
it's good stuff. And big week ahead. So in the Seinfeld rewatch series this week, we're doing the Mom and Pop Store, which is good timing because that was the Thanksgiving episode that year. And of course, Thanksgiving is next week. And also, kind of tying into the holidays, in our excellent WWE Network adventure, we are up to World Class's Star Wars 12/28/82 will be up on Wednesday. And that, of course, the whole show is Ric Flair versus Kerry Von Erich with the Freebirds and all that stuff. So
that was it. That was the show. You know who you should try to get as a guest is Dan Bynum.
Oh, yeah?
He was the director.
Is he available? Easily available?
Yes. Okay. Very easily available. He's awesome.
Okay. Well, maybe you can set it up for us.
I will. I'd be happy to. He is, to have had the chance to work with him in, to have the chance to work with him in Ring of Honor, and knowing that he was the man responsible for a lot of those, you know, the Bad Street videos and Wrestling Star Wars and all of those different things. Talk about cutting edge, and the things that they were doing were ahead of their time. So, the genius and the brilliance of Gary Hart's booking can never be taken away. He was one of a kind. So
cool.
Yeah, I would love to help in that any way possible.
All right. Very good. So that's it.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My network subscription, my wife got me a 1-year subscription last year for Christmas, mm-hmm. and it's coming due. If you're me, do you renew it?
Yes.
I don't watch it that much.
Do you watch it enough to make your $10 a month?
Well, yeah.
Okay. There's your answer.
Really?
Think of all the garbage you spend $10 a month on the road.
Yeah, some diet sodas. I love Diet Mountain Dew.
All right. Well, that's awful for you. But there is like...
How can you say it's awful for me?
It's awful for you. Anything diet is not good for you.
It's diet. They wouldn't put anything bad in soda.
Anyway. You can get like 5 less bottles a month of that shit that's rotting you from the inside out.
But it's not a question of the money.
Okay.
It's a question of, should I invest in it?
Yeah. Because it's good. It's good for the business for that to be successful. And you're in the business. You should want it to do well. You want WWE to do well,
don't
you? I
can write it off on my taxes. That's not, that again, not an issue.
You want WWE to do well, right? No?
I know what you're saying. There is a school of thought that as WWE goes, so the rest of the business goes.
I think that's true, yes.
I don't know. Their business is down and Ring of Honor's business is up.
But if the network fails, that's like a major issue for them. Like, so we're talking like serious cutbacks, and that's a lot of wrestlers and people in the business out of jobs, and where are they all going to go?
I don't know.
I just don't think it's good for the business for this network to fail. I think it's a big part of the future of the wrestling business, and I think it needs to do well.
All right, so after we've talked now, if I renew my subscription, can I not be blamed if it all fails?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right. Because I don't want to be blamed.
No, you won't be blamed. You'll be good. Plus, you get WrestleMania. $10. Can't beat that.
Well, that's what I mean. It's not a question of value, because you certainly more than get your money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
But
they've had some good programming with it. Like, their original programming is not bad. Like, it's good. There's a lot on. There's plenty on there for you to keep yourself busy.
But you know what I find myself watching more than anything else is old WCW pay-per-views.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Okay. I enjoy them.
Good.
I don't know.
Then you're paying for something you enjoy. Like all those happy endings we talked about earlier.
Why can't I drink Diet Mountain Dew?
So, holidays are coming up. You're going to be doing a lot of shopping. Before you go to Amazon, because I know you and a lot of our listeners shop at Amazon, go to placemanation.com first. Click the Amazon banner on the right-hand side that takes you to Amazon. There is no additional fee, no additional cost, no additional steps besides that one. And you get a little kickback back to placemanation.com. So keep us going. Keep us up and running. Help us keep all these great podcasts on the air, all the written pieces coming out. And that is an easy, simple step for you to complete. So big during this time of year to get your friends and family involved in that.
So wait, what's the sponsorship deal? How does this work now?
Placemanation.com. You scroll down and there's a big Amazon banner right on the right-hand side. It's right under the Kevin Kelly Show banner. You click that and it takes you directly to Amazon. And then you shop as normal. You don't have to do anything else. And we get a kickback from it.
Well, let's do that right now.
All right, good. Go buy some.
Everybody do that while you're listening to this podcast. Go to placetobenation.com, click on the Amazon link on the right-hand side, and buy something.
There you go.
That you need.
You should spread that amongst all your friends at Ring of Honor, Kevin. That as they shop this holiday season, that's where they should go first.
Buying the things that you're already buying.
Right.
This is not some GoFundMe.
Right. Yep.
You know, I want to pay for wrestling school. I need somebody to help me finance my dream.
Or, you know, pay us $9 and you can get podcasts that are worse than the ones that you get for free elsewhere.
That's right. Because these are some top... This is top-notch programming.
Yeah. Let's talk some sports. So, did you watch the fight on Saturday?
Didn't watch it. I was working. We got out of the building. ESPN alert, Holly Holm knocks out Ronda Rousey in the second round.
You could tell pretty early on that she was in trouble. There was one little glimpse where she took her down and you're like, okay, here we go. And then Holm powered out of it. But I think it was too little too late because Rousey had already taken a bit of a beating. I mean, like 30 seconds in, her face is beat red. And I think, you know, I saw a lot of stuff out there like, oh, she seemed gas, out of shape. But I think she just got her nose busted and couldn't breathe. I mean, that's what it seemed like to me. And Holm just took her to school. Rousey looked lost after a while. I think she was just gassed and beat up, and she was chasing and wasn't fighting her style, and Holm just punched her out. And then the end, that kick to the side of the head was pretty nasty. That put her down for good. So pretty big surprise. I'm sure Dana White probably not thrilled. I think Holm's still pretty bankable. I don't think she has quite the appeal of Rousey, but you know what? She's undefeated and she's been pretty good. So you can kind of tell the same story. She doesn't have the charisma that Rousey has. I mean, she does, but it's different. She's not as boisterous or doesn't run her mouth as much. She's very kind of a little bit more reserved, as we saw in the post-match. So it was interesting. It was cool to watch it. Because a lot of times I'll go over our buddy Roger Morissette's house to watch these, and it's fun. I like going there. But this time we went to Boneheads, and I was glad we were in an environment with like a lot of other people watching a moment like that. It's fun to share moments like that with like a big crowd. And that's what it was. Like, everyone was going crazy when she got knocked out.
Instead of just you and the cowboy there in your drawers watching it?
Right. And that's fun. But, you know, sure. That's a moment. You know, you want to, where were you when Rousey got knocked out? You know, like, it's fun to say we were there and, like, everyone's going crazy. And, you know, a lot of people compared it to Douglas and Tyson. And I don't know if it's exactly comparable because I don't think Rousey's going to be cooked like Tyson was. But it certainly is up there as far as, like, upsets go.
Is it going to help, hurt, or will have a net, you know, but will not be a net negative or positive in the wake of Rousey's loss?
As far as what?
Box office, business.
I don't think it's a major blow, but it takes away like the event, the big event feel that she brought right now anyway, in the short term. I mean, her fights were like, you know, events, just to see if anyone could do anything to her. And now that's gone. So I think the rematch will draw money. And, you know, like I saw someone point out today, Brock Lesnar lost his first fight and he ended up being a pretty big draw for them. So I think, you know, if she comes back and she applies herself and you know, trains better and is more focused and comes back and you kind of get almost like a mini Rocky III, you know, she comes back and knocks out home and takes the title back. Yeah, I think she's still bankable. If she comes out again and gets wrecked, that might be it.
Yeah, they're going to get at least one more big box office out of her. I would pay for the rematch. I would want to see the rematch. So they've got me hooked.
Would you do the rematch? I think they're in a tough spot because you kind of don't want Holm to fight anyone else. Because what if she loses, right? What if Misha Tate or something comes in and beats her? And now what? Now you're Buster Douglas even more, right? So you don't even get the rematch because he goes and loses to someone else. On the flip side, if Rousey comes back too soon and loses again or gets creamed again, then she's done. So what's the better bet? Do you hope Holm knocks off a few challengers and then you're ready for her to fight Rousey when Rousey's ready? You can't have Holm sit here for a year while Rousey regroups, but you also don't want to rush Rousey back in, you know, 4 months or whatever for the rematch and then have her get knocked out again because now you kill her off. So it's kind of a tricky situation. Do you give Holm a couple tomato cans? I mean, what do you do?
I think, what I had heard on Fox Sports Radio shortly after the fight is that the rematch might happen at the Floyd Mayweather arena that's opening in Las Vegas. And that would be sometime in the spring. So I don't think that Holly Holm will have to have another fight.
If that's in the spring, definitely not.
Yeah, and I think that does is that, because when I was hearing the timetable and the guys that were talking were fairly knowledgeable, like one guy was there covering the fight, he said the timeline that he was giving, and he didn't mention WrestleMania, made me think that, wow, if she's going to be training for a fight in the spring, how in the world is she going to do Mania?
Well, she's supposed to be doing a movie in the spring. I thought that's the whole reason why she couldn't do Mania in the first place, because this fight was supposed to be later, and then they moved it up to this show. And then I thought because she had said she was taking a break anyway, so I thought that included that movie shoot, and then she'd be back later. I don't see them fighting in the spring. I don't think she'll be ready for it in the spring.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, she's got to, like, if she's going to be home, she needs a whole new game plan, a whole new, I mean, there's people saying she needs a whole new camp, like a whole new set of trainers that they really did her a disservice this time around. I just don't see her, like, ready to roll in April. If they went to distance and she lost on a decision or got trapped, you know, I mean, she got her ass kicked. I can't see her coming back in April and expecting much difference. Like, she needs a hardcore preparation.
And hardcore preparation, of course, was what hardcore preparation H was what the Giants needed in the Patriots game, and the Jets also too. So we're feeling victimized, both of our teams.
I don't think I've been this upset about a Jets loss. There's two I can think of that have gotten me this upset in recent years. It's well, not even that much recent anymore, but the AFC title game with the Steelers that they lost, that one really hung with me because I, you know, they played really well in the second half. They just came out a little flat in the first half. And the game against the Giants on Christmas Eve that ended their season, the third year of Rex and Sanchez's year when Victor Cruz had the 99-yard touchdown or whatever, 10 and a half. Those two games hung with me. And this one is, I don't even want to look at like Jet stuff. I'm so angry about Thursday night. And it even has nothing to do with Rex. How do you get the ball? This, you know, you have this great comeback. They give you a gift. They screw up the punt. You get the ball in the 13. They're reeling. You get down to the 5, and then you don't punch it in. I just don't get. There were so many gaffes in that game, and they still had a chance to win. And my biggest issue is with a win there, they're really in a good spot for a wild card position. And now they let everyone back in. Miami's back in. Buffalo's back in. Pittsburgh's back. Like, they had a grip on it. They would have been sitting at 6-4. Or 6-3, whatever they would have been. And they would have had a really good shot to, they would have been 6-3. They would have had a really good shot to you know, wrap it up in the next few weeks with the schedule they have. And now they get a battle. Now they really get a, and I still think they have a decent shot due to their schedule, but they just would have been in so much better position to make things a little bit easier for themselves. And that loss was just like such a winnable game.
Right. And there were winnable games all across the NFL this past week. The Ravens should have won, didn't.
Giants screwed up, huh? The ref screwed up. They admitted it.
Well, the guy had a tailor-made interception, dropped it. Judgment call on the field. How does I know all booth review after two? You know, within the 2-minute warning, how does Harbaugh not just roll around until they stop the play and make them do something? But anyway, yeah, that's the way it goes. It's the way it goes. There's winnable games. There's teams that should win. Seattle blew it, mm-hmm. and I was surprised that they blew it. Giants definitely blew that game. Jets had moments, should have won, could have won.
How do the Giants not run? At least run once. How do you give them another timeout at 2:01? How do you run an incomplete pass to give them the break at 2:01? Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think the Jets are better. Now, the Jets and Giants, their records are identical. Close.
The Jets are 5-4.
And the Giants are 4-5.
Okay. So the Jets still have a pretty decent schedule. Like, they got Houston this week. They still got Tennessee to come. They got the Dolphins again, who I think they match up well with. You got Buffalo again. You got Dallas, who, you know, Romo is going to be back, but do they have much to play for? You got the Giants, who I think has a decent matchup, and then the Pats again. So, I mean, they have winnable games. But if they were sitting at 6 wins and you only needed like 4 more to lock up a spot, I'd feel so much better. Knowing they probably need 5 of these now, it's a lot trickier. You know, they got to go 5-2.
There's a part of me that wants to say the Giants, even though, of course, they have one fewer win right now, there's a part of me that really wants to say that the Jets will definitely have a better record at the end of the season than the Giants. Because while I think the Giants might have better offensive and defensive weapons, there just seems to be something about the Giants team that is snake bit. And I think that the Jets can pull it together, but I'm very, very hesitant to say the same thing about the Giants.
Well, the Giants now have lost, four fourth quarter leads where they've led with 2 minutes to go or whatever?
Yes.
And the Cowboys, I mean, all they had to do was win like one of these games or even two. And with Romo coming back, they've been in really, really good shape. Because Philly, you know, they gacked it last week. And, you know, all of a sudden, Washington's back in the picture now. They're at 4-5. And Dallas, I mean, what are they? What is Philly 4-5 as well?
They are. Let's go to the standings.
Because I feel like Dallas is only 2 games out, even after all this. But if they would have won one of those games, like, they should have totally beaten Tampa yesterday. So if they beat Tampa and they're sitting at 3 wins, a game out, and now Romo's back, like, I still think they have a good shot. And now they couldn't pull out. They were another team that was in all these games, and they let them all slip through their hands. So, again, another team that didn't do themselves any favors.
Giants are 5-5 with the bye week coming up.
Okay.
Skins, Eagles, 4-5. Cowboys, 2-7. Right. So, for as lame as the Cowboys' season has been for them, they're 2 games out of first.
Right, 2.5 out. So they own the tie. You know, they beat the Giants once, right? Oh, no, did they lose? They beat the Giants. Have they played second time yet?
They have not.
Okay, so they beat them once already. So,
you know, with Romo back, like, they're not out of it, but they could have really helped their cause if they beat Tampa yesterday. They would have been a game out with Romo back and a decent schedule ahead. So, you know, done this was no favor. Carolina pretty much has the South in hand. I think they're, you know, on the verge of wrapping that up. Minnesota has surged ahead of Green Bay in the North. They got that in hand. The West seems to be going towards Arizona now, with Seattle and St. Louis kind of falling back a bit. You know, and then I don't think any wild cards are coming out of the East. So what are your wild card teams right now? Probably Packers and Falcons.
Falcons.
Yep.
Pack and Falcons. And then in the AFC, the Broncos have a three-game lead, even though Peyton Manning is his career is over. The South is a disaster. The Bengals are running away with the division, and so are the Patriots. So your wild card teams are the Steelers and...
I think it's, you know, you got Buffalo, Miami, and the Jets, and then Oakland. Like, I think those are the, you know, five teams for the two spots.
Don't forget about the Chiefs.
What are they at?
4-5. Yeah, they have the same record as the Raiders.
Yeah, they're lingering too.
It's I didn't believe in the Chiefs at the start of the season, and I overvalued the Raiders, but only because I really think the Raiders are the most improved team in the division. Denver has finally started to take the steps back that, you know, we speculated on and a lot of people said might happen, and that's where it is now. It's sad with Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sad. I felt bad for him yesterday. I listened to the game on the radio and then I picked it up when I got home. I felt bad for him. I don't like to see players that I like and they have their skills diminish right before my eyes. And that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, it's tough to say he should have went out after that Seahawks Super Bowl because of how ugly it was. I mean, I don't blame him for coming back last year. I kind of wish maybe last year he hung it up. I mean, and it's sad, too, because they were 6-0, so it's not like they were trash. But, yeah, he doesn't look good.
Right, right.
He's probably done. We've probably seen the last Brady Manning game, too, because it sounds like he won't be back in time for that game.
So do we have our second-half Super Bowl picks? Are we willing to change?
Oh, yeah, because I think I picked Indy because I didn't really put much thought into it. I'll say I'll probably say Pats, Arizona. I think Arizona's the best team in the NFC. They have the best offense. If Carolina had, like, one more really good receiver, I think I'd buy them a bit more.
I mean, they don't even have a B receiver.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how they're doing.
Their best receiver is Greg Olsen, the tight end.
Yeah, they have the team that screams, like, losing at home. Can you totally see Seattle sneaking into the last wild card and then going to Carolina and beating them week one of the playoffs? Like, I mean, that's a screaming that, right?
Oh, I don't want to play Seattle at all. I'm scared to death of them.
Right, that's my guess. You know, that I could totally see Seattle locks up, somehow comes in at the 5 seed, goes into Carolina. Or, well, I guess Carolina's probably going to have a bye, so maybe not. Maybe Seattle waxes whoever the East champion is and then goes into Carolina. Yeah, I'd say Pats, Arizona is probably my pick. Because Green Bay's looked so shaky the last couple weeks, and I don't believe in Minnesota enough to put them as a Super Bowl contender.
I'm torn with in the AFC. Of course, I picked New England, so I'm going to stay there. Of course, my pick of Philly, that's done. If I was to change and go in the NFC a different direction, I still believe in Seattle. I was very surprised that they lost. Should I start believing in Arizona? I don't believe in Carolina.
I think Arizona was the team last year. The Palmer got hurt. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think this is fluky or anything. I mean, they've legit been good for a few years now. It's just Palmer getting hurt both times burnt them.
I'm more apt to believe in a 4-5 Seattle team than a 6-3 Falcons team.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you there. I'll tell you,
I'm more apt to believe in a 4-5 Seahawks team than a 6-3 Packers team at this point.
Yeah, I'd probably agree there. Although Rodgers and those weapons, I mean, I think they'll get it sorted out. And there's not much competition for the wild card. I mean, I think it's really just Green Bay, Atlanta, and Seattle. So I think Green Bay can outlast one of those teams. I'll tell you who the Pats don't want to see. They do not want the Giants winning that division. They do not want them to get hot and then meet them again in the Super Bowl. I can tell you that much. I think they'd
exactly
rather face any team in the NFC outside of maybe Arizona and maybe Seattle over the Giants.
Well, we've got just a few minutes left. Let's take a quick look back at baseball. As a Mets fan, I was thrilled. I'm not disappointed at all that they got beaten five games in the World Series. And hats off to the Kansas City Royals for the way they played. As a Mets fan, I'm thrilled. You're playing with house money. They got out of the division round. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, it was a good year. I mean, it sets you up for a good future with that pitching. You know, they're obviously going to need a bat to replace Cespedes because I doubt they're going to re-sign him, nor I don't think they should. So who do they go get to fill that role? Is it Alex Gordon? Is it someone else? Do they spend some money? I mean, your rotation's set, so you don't have to go out and get a pitcher.
Right.
I think you do need to do something about the bullpen, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think they blew the series for you.
Yeah. It's bad luck.
I'm not a big believer in, like, I don't know. I do believe to an extent about chemistry, but like I don't believe like this team was they refused to lose. But like I'm not a big buyer into that stuff. Like this team's gritty and gutty, and you know because a team loses 3-0, they look dead and they don't care. They're old and listless. No, they just get shut out by a great pitcher. I do think the Royals were as close as a refused to lose team as there was this year. I think they were so locked in after last year that they just were not going to go down. And they have a team full of just pesky contact hitters. That's, yeah, it was impressive. It was a good series.
It's very interesting to see the future landscape of baseball. And you know, your Yankees had kind of had the up and down year. They played well for big stretches. They struggled at some stretches. In the end, they didn't make it out of the wild card round. And so now they pause and reflect. Do you sense significant change in the Yankees lineup?
I don't think they can. They're pretty locked in across the board. One of the big rumors now is because they traded for Aaron Hicks. Many think that may be a precursor to a Brett Gardner trade. There's been a couple teams rumored to be interested in him. He's kind of edging towards the wrong end of 30. He's got a pretty decent contract that a team may find desirable. He's kind of redundant with Ellsbury. I think if you held them at gunpoint, they'd rather trade Ellsbury, but they'd probably have to eat a lot of the contract. The team you see rumored at times for Ellsbury is Chicago, the Cubs, due to his ties with Theo and kind of the need for a player, you know, go out and play center field or whatever for them. So I think they'd probably prefer to trade Ellsbury to Gardner. I think Gardner may go, and I think they're going to make a play for Hayward. They need a young bat. They need a guy that can slot into the middle of the order. He plays tremendous defense. And if you're talking about an outfield, you know, of him, you know, him, Gardner, and Ellsbury, or him, Ellsbury, and Hicks, or I guess even if it was Beltran out there for one more year, I think that'd be a big boon for them because they have a couple bats coming up, but that's one that they really could use to help anchor some of the young kids coming up. And you got one more year of Teixeira, probably one more year, I think, of Sabathia. I think two more of A-Rod left on those big deals, so we'll see. I mean, they free up a lot of money after this year, so it wouldn't shock me to see them pay Hayward.
Yeah, and I think it would be worth it. And one other thought on baseball from me. I never thought I would miss Tim McCarver until I heard Harold Reynolds this year.
Yeah.
I liked A-Rod. I thought he did a good job.
He did a great job. I think he's going to, if everyone gets over the steroid stuff, I think he's got a pretty good future at that.
Yeah.
I mean, you've always heard he's like a savant when it comes to baseball knowledge. I mean, that's the one thing that they've always said positively about him is the way he sees the game. So if he doesn't
I never heard that. I never really followed him. All I knew is that whenever I heard him do interviews, he sounded really disingenuous, and I felt more genuine comments from A-Rod here on the World Series that he was able to recall what he did in the game in April, and I think he did a good job. So,
well, the two things you always kind of hear positive about him amongst all the negativity was that his knowledge of the game and his leadership in the clubhouse, what he does like a lot of the younger kids, how he mentors them. But the knowledge of baseball thing, like I've heard beat reporters say how he'll like remember specific pitches from the game, even when he's like in the field. He's like, you know, on the third pitch of that at bat to Gordon in the fifth inning when, you know, CC threw a curveball that broke, you know, like he remembers shit to that detail about games in the past even too. Like he'll call out specific details. So he's kind of got that level of knack of a mind for the game.
So that's a look at kind of the sports world. And as we move forward into the winter months. We will look at, you know, we might have some thoughts on hockey and on baseball and or hockey and basketball, et cetera, whatever else is going on as we move through the winter months. We kind of we are chugging along towards 1 year, which we checked before, and that's January 23rd. It will be 1 year, our 1 year anniversary for the Kevin Kelly Show.
2 years, man. 2 years.
I'm sorry. 2 years. 2 years. 2 years in counting, because we'll be at right around episode 50 for that 2 year mark. So right around the anniversary mark. I've got a busy month of January, JR, because on January 4th, I once again am going back to New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Look at you.
Look at me. I'm going to be part of the broadcast team for Wrestle Kingdom 10. I'm very excited. And I do want to give a shout out to the guys at the New Japan Purocast who listened to this show and had some good thoughts and some good comments about the commentary and do a great job covering all things New Japan. So I do appreciate them, and I will continue to listen because they will help me become more knowledgeable as a broadcaster.
There you go.
But, yeah, I'm going to be excited, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tokyo Dome, there'll be over 40,000 people there. And it'll be nice. Do you want a souvenir? Can I get you something while I'm there?
I told you, I want the Ribera Steakhouse jacket.
I don't know. Can I get you something else? Maybe like a travel brochure, something they sure. give out for free in the hotel.
Sure. Whatever you want to bring me home is nice.
Oh, that's
by the way, congratulations. I think that's great news.
Thank you.
I thought you did a great job for the last one. You know, and you'll continue, like you said, you'll continue to take feedback and improve. I mean, it takes time. Stuff's not easy. And do you know, is it going to be Matt Stryker again, or is that not determined?
It is going to be Matt Stryker again.
Okay, there you go. So the band back together. So congrats there. I'm very proud of you for landing that gig consistently.
Yeah, I learned a lot the first time around because I wasn't sure how – like I was prepared like in terms of notes and things like that, but I found myself watching the matches more. Like I was afraid to get into story because I was afraid I was going to miss something crucial. So I feel the flow of the bigger matches now a little bit more, and I felt comfortable when the Ring of Honor guys were in there because I knew. Because I've called their matches before, so I kind of knew the pace and how to tell story. 10-man tag, 8-man tags, those are tough. They're tough to get into story time. So, but I understand how sitting there, how it all works. I'll be much more comfortable next time, and I think it'll be much improved. Plus, it's just awesome. It's great wrestling, and it's so much fun, and the people are so nice. It's wonderful. I love it. So anyway, that'll be coming up on January 4th. So we'll cover that in depth, and we'll talk when we have the Young Bucks on in a couple of weeks. We'll talk to them about that because they're going to be on the card for Wrestle Kingdom. They're also going to be a consistent part of Ring of Honor as well, going forward into the new year and beyond because their newly minted contracts are, the ink is dry and everything is official. So we'll have them on in a couple of weeks. That'll be fun.
Very good. Let's wrap it up.
I want to thank everybody for listening, for joining in the fun, frivolity, and festivities. Thanks for all the nice notes. People were wondering where the Kevin Kelly Show was. But again, now our schedules are more harmonious. We'll be back on our normal recording flow of every 2 weeks. So look for another episode coming up at the end of November. And make sure you go back and check out the archives if there's anything that you missed. A lot of great stuff on the Kevin Kelly Show page and the placetobenation.com website, as we talked about earlier on. Thanks to our guest, Ray Rowe, the Young Bucks in a couple of weeks, and we'll see you then. Counting down to the days to Final Battle, Friday, December 18th, live on pay-per-view from Philadelphia. It's sold out, but you'll all be able to see it on pay-per-view. Call your cable operator, your satellite provider to order, and it's just the way that God intended for you to watch pay-per-view. For Dan McGinn and Justin Rosero, I'm Kevin Kelly, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks here on The Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation and our website home, placetobenation.com.
Chris Dunn, he's a beast. Check him out. Pick up to get ready to rig the thing I wore for the ass motorboating.
A tree fell. fell on Greg Abbott.
You know, I'm only 50 now and the phone could ring at any time.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had a strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was, like, obsessed with.
This honey is from Hazel's Honey Hut.
But, by the way, speaking of food and Bush,
I think Chris Jericho is who Michael Hayes would like to be.
Always had a lot of issues with Cox, or have you dealt with Cox better in the past?
I used to enjoy dealing with Cox.
Then people would be more inclined to buy the network and watch the shows.
I'd buy the network for a happy ending.
I do not know where Steve Austin is. He saw the gun. He saw the gun and he left. Oh my God, he's back!
Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing you?
No, wait a minute.
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye.